Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing the second approach that tashbisu is a mitzvah kumbase, right? That's an active chiyuv to go ahead and to actively destroy the chametz. So we pointed out that within this general approach of tashbisu midin kumbase, there are various different versions of the mitzvah of tashbisu. And the way we're organizing these different versions are along the lines of three distinct issues, right? So issue number one, which we discussed yesterday, is the issue of what/who is the subject of the chiyuv. Right? We pointed out two different versions of the Menchas Chinuch and Reb Chaim about whether this chiyuv kumba asay is mutal on the gavra, that was Menchas Chinuch's version, or do you say that no, this chiyuv kumba asay is mutal on the chefza, and that was Reb Chaim's version. So again, so one issue was who/what is the subject of the chiyuv. So that was the first issue. So the second issue, which we're in the middle of discussing, is what is the timing of this mitzvah? So you pointed out that the simple approach, right, in terms of the timing of kumbase, is that the mitzvah kumbase applies la'achar zmano, right? Just like every other mitzvah b'kumbase, every other mitzvah sase, which requires an action to be taken, so generally the action needs to be taken during the zman. You have the classic example of, you know, mila, or whose zman is the eighth day. Right, so there, of course, you have to perform the Maisa Mila on the eighth day. So therefore, the first approach within Kumbase, we saw this within Tosas Dalet Amud Beis, the Rush and Siman Yud in the context of Brachos, and we saw Menchas Chinuch says this, that therefore they all say that therefore the Zman of this Kumbase is Davka L'Achar Zmano, Achar Chatzos on Erev Pesach. We're going to now, and the Menchas Chinuch says, that's the only possibility, right? If someone assumes that Tashbisu takes place Kodem Zmano, they must not hold the Kumba Asay approach, because the Menchas Chinuch is so strong about this that if you hold the Kumba Asay approach, it must take place L'Achar Zmano, because you never find anywhere that a mitzvah Kumba Asay can be performed before its Zman. So again, that's the first version. We're going to now prove, hopefully both from Rashi and the Rambam, that the Menchas Chinuch's analysis is not necessarily correct at all. And we're going to see that a number of Rishonim, such as Rashi and the Rambam, seem to formulate the mitzvahs tashbisu as kumbase, and yet they clearly hold that the zman of tashbisu, or the time that you to be mekayim tashbisu, is lifnei zmano. So let's go one by one. So first, starting with the svara behind this option, the second option that you can perform tashbisu kodem zmano, even though it's a kumbase, as you pointed out before, that one svara could be at the purpose, that the function of tashbisu is to really serve as a symbolic demonstration, you know, regarding the person's perspective towards chametz. And therefore, once the nature of tashbisu is a symbolic demonstration that this person is in a rotsa b'kiyumo, and therefore he burns the chametz, right, likrat ha-chag, right, in preparation for the chag to demonstrate that this is his perspective going in, so once you understand that the nature of tashbisu is to, like, demonstrate your perspective before the chag, so therefore it's much more preparatory in nature, and therefore it's very possible to say that you can perform that tashbisu lifnei zmano, because it's all about, you know, establishing your perspective, you know, in advance to the chag. So it could very well be that specific, even though generally mitzvahs kumbase are limited to the zman of the mitzvah, here specifically tashbisu, which is all about, it's more of a preparatory mitzvah, can therefore be performed even lifnei zman. So I'd like to go through four, starting off with the Shitas Rashi, we're going to go through four different Rashis, which I think prove, that even though Rashi holds clearly from Bittel being Mekayim Tashbisu, that the Tashbisu is Kodem Zmano. So that's a fact. Everyone agrees to that. I'd like to now prove from these four Rashis that Rashi, despite holding that you can be Mekayim Tashbisu Lifnei Zmano, that Rashi still holds that Tashbisu is a Kumba Asay. So again, against the Menchas Chinuch, who says, oh, the fact that Rashi holds that Bittel's Mekayim Tashbisu must be the Rashi holds of Isra Asay. So we're going to prove, hopefully, from four different Rashis, that Rashi really holds that Tashbisu is a Kumba Asay, which can be performed Lifnei Zmano. Okay. So let's start off with Rashi on Dalet Amud Beis. Right? Rashi and Dalam is actually the beginning of the Tashbisu Sugya, and how Rashi specifically understands Abaye, right? Abaye is the first Makor. Let's just read Abaye's Makor, and let's read Rashi. So, Arya, do you get a chance? Dalam of is. Sorry, Dalam of is. You know, and you probably saw I just switched my order in my head. So, I Dalam of is.
The Biz of Alma.
So it's no. Sorry, Dalam be sorry, the Gemara starting with Minalan. I'm totally switching the order. Yeah.
Fine.
As the Gemara first says, oh, we know that the Zman Tashbisu must be Mechatzos ve'Elach. The Gemara says Minalan. What's the Makor for this? So Abaye gives the first Makor. So what does Abaye say?
Oh, Rabbi Shekhar Kasivi. Aksev Shuas Yamim Sora Lo Yim Tevotecha. Aksev Bach Biyom Arishon Tashbisu Shomim Tevotecha. So. First post it says 7 days you can't have sore in your houses, and or liyimza. And the second post says on the first day you have to get rid of it.
So the Gemara then says haketza.
Haketza. The rabos.
All right. How could this be? So the question is, it's not really clear. What's the haket meaning? Right. If you didn't have any mefarshim, it's like what's the problem? You have two psukim, and what's the problem? So what does Rashi explain? You see Rashi yeah. Yomaz l'shivas yomim.
So even one hour, one moment, right?
Right. The fact that Shivas Yamim Sor Lo Yimatzei B'Batechem, based on the law of Bayimatzei specifically, implies that the entire 7 days you can't have it for even for a moment. You can't have chametz around. But yet,
it wasn't in your just for some moment before you were able to be mevar.
Right, but yet, right? He says, and if you interpret Achvi Amarishon literally, so what's the problem?
You're doing Hashbasa. You have Chametz in your shows on Pesach.
Exactly. So Rashi says the conundrum, right? The stira that really the basis of Abaye is that he's basically asking a stira. The Haketzah is basically saying, how can you resolve these two psukim? They seem to be so from one another. The pasuk Abaye Matzeh establishes you can't even have it for any moments. But then, if Tashbisu applies to Yom Rishon literally, so then you have a problem because for sure, Al Korachok, there's going to be some lag time, the time you're able to, time, right, you start burning and the time you're able to, you know, Totsah burning it. So therefore, for sure, you're going to end up leaving it around. So how do you resolve this? And the Gemara is going to say, oh, this is the Makor, that Yom Rishon is really on Erev. Fine. But what does this prove? What does this tell you? Point to Rashi about the nature of Tashbisu. This Rashi, right, it only makes sense that Tashbisu Biyom Rishon is a stira to Bayimatzeh if Tashbisu is a kumva asay. If you think about it. Because then, if the Torah is saying, okay, on the Yom Rishon, actively go ahead and destroy the chametz, so then you have the problem that by the time you go ahead and destroy the chametz, there's going to be some lag time. But if Ach B'Yom Rishon, Ach B'Yom Rishon, right, Tashbisu Sor Mibatechem, is an Isra Aseh, so what does Isra Aseh mean? Isra Aseh means that it can't be in your Rishus by the time Yom Rishon hits. Right, so if Rashi really held of Isser Aseh, so it wouldn't make any sense for Abaye to ask a stira between these two psukim, because if anything, they're saying exactly the same thing. Bayimatzeh, the lama of Bayimatzeh says, oh, it can't be in your house all 7 days, and then if Tashbisu is also an Isser Aseh, so it too is simply saying you can't have chametz in your shus on the first day. There's no stira.
How is that considered Tashbisu on the first day?
No, that's the point. If it was an Isra
Aseh, there has to be looked at as like there was some Tashbisu happening on the first day.
No, because remember, if it's an Isra Aseh, according to Isra Aseh, when the Torah says Tashbisu Sor Mibatechem, that's just saying that make sure it's Mushbas by Yom Rishon. Right, that's the way, remember, you remember the Ramban, who takes the Isra Aseh approach, he basically says, remember, don't ask me a kasha tosos how I can perform the Maisa Acher Chatzos, because the whole point is an Isra Aseh, which means it has to be Mushbas by Chatzos. Same thing here. All Ach B'Yom Rishon Tashbisu Sor Mibatechem within the Isra Aseh approach is saying is that it needs to be Mushbas by Yom Rishon. That's not a stira to by a matzah. If anything, it's an overlap. They're saying exactly the same thing. So it's clear from this Rashi, at least within Abaye, that Rashi's conception of Tashbisu is as a kumbaase. Ha'ara. So if it should be noted that the Minchas Chinuch admits to this. I don't know if you guys remember. But the Minchas Chinuch, when he's trying to prove that Rashi is really in the Isra Asay category, he says, I know you're going to ask me from this Rashi and Dalam base. Minchas Chinuch says, he spells out, explicates this analysis, and says, yeah, Rashi within Abayi clearly is adopting the Kumva Asay approach, because otherwise Rashi's explanation to Abayi's Stira doesn't make sense. But how does the Minchas Chinuch resolve it? Remember how Minchas Chinuch resolves it? Exactly. Minchas Chinuch says, oh, but Rashi only has this Kumba Asay conception of Tashbisu only within the Sheet of Abai. But for all the other Makoros, and there are like five or six other Makoros on Hayam and Aleph, Rashi holds that all those Makoros conceive of Tashbisu as an Isser Asay, and that's what Rashi is paskin like. So Minchas Chinuch admits that this Rashi Adalon Beis is against the Shita, and then Rashi, but he says, don't worry, because Rashi is just paskening, right, like all the other Shitos, which say that it really is an Isser Asay. But we're going to present, there are two problems with the Minchas Chinuch's, you know, resolution. Problem number one is that if the Minchas Chinuch is correct, that Rashi's general Shita is that Tashbisu is an Isser Asay, so then why wouldn't Rashi also explain Abaye as an Isser Asay? There's nothing within Abaye which is machriach Rashi to explain Tashbisu as Kumva Asay. Because the Gemara never tells you that it's a Stira. All the Gemara asks is Haketzad. And it's pretty ambiguous. It's pretty open-ended to like, what exactly is Abaye asking? And in fact, if you look at Tosos on the spot, Diramas Uksiv, he offers an alternative. He says Abaye is not asking a stira. Remember, because Tosos L'Shitaso doesn't think it's a stira. Remember, because Tosos L'Shitaso to holding Masha Chametz Amanas Levayer is in over. So therefore, Tosos can't agree to Rashi's stira, because for Tosos, as long as you're being Mevayer on the first day, it doesn't matter that you're Masha Shahakas, because Masha Chametz Amanas Levayer. So Tosel Shitasa has a completely different shot in Abaye, and says it's just a Yitzur Dekra. It's just redundant, right? If you look at it, it says V'nir Lari. You see in Tosel's Dior Masel Uksiv. Ephraim, you see it? You see the line? V'nir Lari. It's the last line of Tosel's.
So literally, the Marashah Dekra Kedarsh. He's just dashing the crop.
Right, the Yitzur Dekra Kedarsh. It's just like it's like additional, superfluous. So all Abaye is doing is that these two psukim are superfluous. Why do you need both? And if anything, truth is that works out well with the Isser Asay approach. Right? To say, if Baye Matzeh already told you that you can't have Chametz in your Rishus all 7 days, so why do you need an extra Pasuk of Tashbisu, of the Isser Asay variety, to say, oh yeah, you can't have Chametz around on the first day? That's superfluous. Comes along, Haketzah, so what is the Tashbisu comment? Oh, to move it up to Erev Pesach as well. So, all I'm pointing out is that for the Minchas Chinuch, Minchas Chinuch is basically saying that Rashi is like forced into saying this within Abaye, but for everyone else he holds a Isser Asay. But we're asking now, it's like, what forces Rashi to say this within Abaye? There's a clear alternative. If Rashi is really an Isser Asay person, then he could just simply explain Abaye, like the Ri does, as an Isser Asay. So the fact that Rashi goes out of his way, right, despite the alternative, and goes out of his way to say, oh, explain Abaye as holding that Tishbisu is a Kumva Asay, it would seem more likely because Rashi really holds of the Kumva Asay approach, according to everyone. So that's number one. The second problem with the Minchas Chinuch's approach is that if you remember, one of the big contrasts between Reb Chaim and Minchas Chinuch is that while Reb Chaim says that the machlokas about the nature of Tashbisu is subject to a machlokas tanaim. He says, right, Reb Chaim says, Hagufa is the machlokas between Reb Yehuda's Ein Bir Chametz El Asreifa and the Chachamim's Hashbisas B'chol Davar. If you recall, Minchas Chinuch doesn't like doing that. Minchas Chinuch says it's a machlokas Rishonim, and each Rishon holds of his pshat L'kuli Alma. Right? He says, if Rashi, right? If Rashi and the Rambam will hold of Isra say, according to Minchas Chinuch, say that Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Nechamin. And Tosos, who for the Minchas Chinuch holds a Kumba say, says that Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Nechamin. So it's just strange now that Minchas Chinuch is saying that, yes, that in order to explain Rashi, like, in line with the way he's explaining him, he's forced into saying that, oh, within Rashi, it's a machlokis amarayim / tanayim, machlokis between these mekoros. Wait a second, Minchas Chinuch, aren't you the one who shied away from that and said, no, each Rishon has a take on the nature of Tashbisu, and that's Likulei Alma. So it's strange that after taking that approach, that the nature of Tashbisu is a machlokis only in the realm of Rishonim, but not in the realm of Tanayim and Amorayim, that now the Minchas Chinuch is going to defend his Pshat and Rashi by saying, yeah, in a Chanami, within Rashi, it's a Machlokes Tanayim. It seems to go against everything he's been saying. So in short, what's coming out is that this Rashi and Dalet Amud Beis, within Abaye, for sure holds that Tashbisu, the nature of Tashbisu, is a Kumbase. We're just pointing out the fact that nothing is compelling Rashi to say that specifically within Abaye. It would seem that Rashi explains Abaye in that manner because that's consistent with Rashi's general shita of viewing Tashbisu as a kumvase. And if you put together Rashi with the fact that he holds that Bittul is Mekayim Tashbisu, it comes out that even though Tashbisu is kumvase, even so it could be done lifnei zman. So that's one Rashi.
Yeah. Is it Rashi that said it's Kumbase? Or like the Minchas Chinuch's Rashi, the one of Shiloh, is that Rashi was Kumbase?
No, I mean that it's Isra's?
Yeah,
no. Well, he just says the fact that his only raya is the fact that Rashi holds that Bittul is called in Zmano. Remember, for the Minchas Chinuch, that is the litmus test. I mean, the Minchas Chinuch is so sure of that Tzliya of his. He says, if you hold the Litnei Zmano, it must be Isra's. It's really a Misvara. Is only coming from the fact that Bittul works called in Zmano. That's his only raya. So we're going to point out that here, which again is actually the Rashi that Minchas Chinuch himself points out, but it's clear from Rashi here that it's Kumbase. And again, we think it's just suggesting that it's pretty dachuk to say that it's limited to Abaye. That's number one. So again, now if you go to Rashi Yud Beis Amud Beis, now there's going to be just another raya that Rashi holds that the Zman of Tashbisu is lifnei zman. Again, you have one raya is bittul, but again, another raya is going to be the way Rashi learns a very important gemara here on Yud Beis Amud Beis. So everyone can turn to Yud Beis Amud Beis. Very important gemara here, and then Rashi, which basically the gemara here quotes a brisa which qualifies the shita Rabbi Yehuda. Right, Rabbi Yehuda for the Mishnah Chavalav seems to say ein bir chametz al sreifa, implication being that he always holds that tashbisu is al yedei sreifa. But it's an important qualification in the Gemara on your base and base. Tzvi, you see it? You see the Bryce versus Amri Yehuda Amasai? It's like 2, 4, 6. It's like 8 skinny lines up. First word in line is Ace Ravina Rava.
Amasai, when do I say that has to be the Shrefa? That's Shalom B'Shas Piyuro. Abu B'Shas Piyuro, Ash B'Shas B'Chodov. But at Shas Piyuro, you can do whatever you want.
So the big machok is here, which will possibly get back to, possibly not, is Bimachok is Rashi and Tosos. What is the gedder of Shalom B'Shas Bi'ura? Right? When is Rabbi Yehuda limiting his Shreifa to? So if you look at Rashi, Dibur Maschel Shalom B'Shas Bi'ura,
Rashi says, Shalom B'Shas Bi'ura, Tichila Shesh, Lechol Shesh, Nekati Jirai Seshari, Abba B'Shas Bi'ura, B'Shara, Shemuda, Menatara, Hash B'Shas Bi'ura, Hash B'Shas.
So stop there. So when is Rashi saying that Rabbi Yehuda's Chiv Sreif applies? Which is Lifnei Zman. So again, we'll get back to this Rashi, but for sure, this Sreifa of Rabbi Yehuda is either the only Tashbisu, or at least the primary Tashbisu of Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So for sure, if Rashi is saying that the Sreifa Shalom B'Shas Biro is Koldim Zmano, so Rashi is clearly assuming that the Zman that you could perform the act of Tashbisu is Lifnei Zmano. So again, this is yet another Rashi. Again, this is not proven necessarily Kumvase, but this is another Rashi in addition to the Bittul be mekayim tashbisu, which is clearly lifnei zmano, right? You have this Rashi, the fact that he applies the sreifa of Rabbi Yehuda to lifnei zmano, it's another clear Rashi to say that Rashi clearly holds that tashbisu is lifnei zmano. And if you combine that so far with what we have in Rashi Dalet on Beis, it comes out that yeah, the kum va'asei tashbisu is even lifnei zmano. Rashi, those are two Rashis. Now going to the third Rashi. If you remember, we've seen this a couple times, you don't have to see this inside. But if you remember, Rashi and Sadi Hey, in two places, Sadi Hey Amin Aleph, both Dira Maskel Lo Sase Minayim, and Dira Maskel Velo Yira, in both places, and remember what Rashi says here on Sadi Hey? And remember, it's the Sugya on Sadi Hey, what Rashi says about Tashvisu there? Exactly. So Rashi here, two times, says that Tashbisu is menatik the lavin of Bayer Bay Matze. And according to the analysis, which seems to be pretty mukrach, according to the analysis of both Reb Chaim and the Menchas Chinuch, the only way Tashbisu could be menatik the lavin of Bayer Bay Matze is if you say, what about Tashbisu? Kum vaseh. If you say that's an active tikkun, so then, yeah, it's menatik the lavin of bayir bay matzeh, because the asay of tashbisu says, oh, if you're over bayir bay matzeh, you can go ahead and be matakin it through the maisa kum vaasay of tashbisu. So remember, both Reb Chaim and the Menchas Chinuch, not within Rashi, both point out that if a particular rishon holds of nitik laasay, so then they clearly adopt the kum vaasay approach to tashbisu. So if you put the Rashis together, this seems to be yet another Rashi, which seems to prove that Tashbisu for Rashi is a kumvaseh. It's actually strange, the Menchas Chinuch doesn't quote this, even though Menchas Chinuch is very fond of this nafka mina, and says the fact that, oh, he says, Tosos l'shitaso to holding the kumvaseh, he's the one who holds it as nitik laseh, remember Chavtas and Vez, and Menchas Chinuch says, oh, the Rambam l'shitaso to holding that a Sheva Taisa specifically holds that it's not nitik laseh, and that's what the Rambam is b'chayv Malkus. But he leaves out the fact that the same Rashi who he tries to group with the Rambam as saying it's Sheva Taisa, on Sadi Hey holds that it is Kum Vaaseh. Sorry, holds that it is Nitzik Laaseh, which is yet another Raya against the Menchas Chinuch, that Rashi really holds that it's a Kum Vaaseh, that even though it's clear from Rashi and Dalam and Beis by Tashbisu, and it's clear by Rashi and Yud Beis and Beis in the context of Shalom B'Shas B'Yiro, that Tashbisu is Kodem Zmani Suro, it's still clear from these other Rashis, both Tzadi Hey in the context of Nitzik La'asei and Dalam and Beis in the context of Abayez Raya, that Rashi still thinks that Tashbisu is Kum Va'asei. And the idea is, like we said before, that even a Kum Va'asei form of Tashbisu could be formed Lifnei Zmano because it's a preparatory mitzvah of demonstrating your perspective towards the Chametz. It's now the fourth Rashi. And the fourth Rashi... Oh, yeah.
Didn't we see a Ma'arik or something which said that...
Yeah. Yeah. Within the Menachas Chinuch Akasha, and we point out the Ma'arik is very difficult, because true, 100%. It's just that, given that's not the classical. Let's say like this. That's not the normative perspective on Nitzik La'aseh, right? Because basically, if you hold a Visser Asay, it's just overlapping. The asay just overlaps with the lav. It doesn't function as any type of tikkun whatsoever. So it's unlike any nitzik laaseh. So you're right. The Marek said it. At the time we said it seems to be more of a chiddush in nitzik laaseh than it is in tashbisu. So all I'm pointing out is that assuming, and again, actually one of my kolayim chaburos was on nitzik laaseh. Rashi doesn't hold to that conception of nitzik laaseh. He's much more normative in his understanding of Nitzik La'aseh. And given that, it seems pretty clear the fact that the Rashi on Sadi Hey holds a Nitzik La'aseh, the Pashtos is that would conform with Rashi and Dalam and Beis, that it's a Kum Va'aseh. But your point well taken, but I just think that the Ma'arik is the one who's is the exception to that one. And the last Rashi is going back to Dalam and Beis. And this is the Rashi when he formulates the notion of bittul being mekayim tashbisu. All right, so actually, Arya, you started reading this before. So, dear Masul bittul ba'alma,
Vitu ba'amad of Sita Shpisu, so it's Vasa Sashisu looks at Varo, Ashvasa Lehi Ashpasa.
Oh, so this is the famous Rashi, which says that Bittel is Mekayim Tashbisu. So again, it's clear. Remember, Kudah number one is that it's clear that Tashbisu applies Lefnei Zman, right? This is one of the core key Rashis, which proves that Tashbisu applies Lefnei Zman, because Bittel is limited to Lefnei Zman. But, so while the Menachos Chinuch quotes this Rashi and therefore says, oh, you know, Rashi must be holding Visra Haseh, I think just how Ara could be made is that Rashi's formulation of Tashbisu here does not seem to be an Isra Haseh. Right? When Rashi says, the Hashpasa Delev Hi Hashpasa, just the formulation, the Pashas of Rashi seems to be saying that Inachanami Tashbisu is an active destruction, but Rashi is saying, don't think that the active destruction required is physical, because even a subjective psychological destruction suffices. So again, nothing in this Rashi seems to imply that there's no lashon of Isra Haseh here. It sounds like he's taking Tashbisu Kipashtus as being Kumva Haseh, and he's just saying, but don't think that Kumva Haseh is dafka physical, which would require therefore Srefa, but it also includes a psychological subjective destruction of Afra Da'ar. Oh. So one Nakuda here, so one proof, right? So again, just the way it's set up, Rashi clearly here, stage by stage. First Nakuda is that Rashi clearly holds that Tashbisu, that Bittel's Mekayim Tashbisu, which therefore for sure means that Tashbisu applies Lifnei Zman. That's Mokhruch. Minchas Chinuch says, oh, therefore it comes out that Rashi must be an Isra Haseh. So, problem number one with the Minchas Chinuch's understanding of this Rashi is that just the Lashon of Rashi doesn't sound like that. The Lashon of Rashi sounds like he thinks it's Kumva Haseh, and he's just extending it. He's just saying, don't think it's limited to a physical Kumva Haseh, it's also a psychological Kumva Haseh. And the other Ara, right, is that, and this is not Mukhrach, but it would seem that Rashi, right, goes out of his way to say that, like, the Afra Da'ara, that the psychological, destruction of the Chametz, that the reason, right, so it's like this, right? It sounds like Rashi, in a number of places, goes out of his way to justify Bittel being Mekayim Tashbisu by saying this idea that, oh, that Tashbisu isn't limited to a physical destruction. It also includes a psychological destruction, and that's how a Bittel midin Afra Da'ara kim Mekayim Tashbisu. But if the Minchas Chinuch is correct, that Rashi simply holds that Tashbisu is an Isra Haseh, so then you could easily justify Bittel being Mekayim Tashbisu of the Isra Haseh variety, even through Bittel Midin Hefker. All right, as you pointed out within the Ran, remember Reb Chaim Ozer B'Shem the Ran, if you think that Tashbisu is simply an Isra Haseh, so then the way for Bittel to be Mekayim Tashbisu is any way to obviate Ba'ar Matzah. Right? Any way you obviate Ba'ar Matzah, any way you obviate this Isra of having Chametz in your Rishus, you're going to be Mekayim, Bittel's going to be Mekayim Tashbisu. So in short, if Rashi was like the Minchas Chinuch and really held of Isra Haseh, so then Rashi wouldn't have to come on to the Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara to justify why Bittel is Mekayim Tashbisu. He could have even said that Bittel is Midin Hefker, and yet it would be Mekayim Tashbisu because it obviates the Isra Haseh, like the Ran said. So what I'm saying is that the fact that Rashi, in a number of places, seems to go out of his way to justify how Bittel can be Mekayim Tashbisu, is basically saying, how can Bittel be Mekayim Tashbisu? Tashbisu is about destruction. Rashi says, I'll give you destruction. Bittel midin afra da'ara, which is a psychological destruction, hashpasa b'leiv. But again, if Rashi was, right, if the Minchas Chinuch was correct in Rashi, that Tashbisu was just an Isra Haseh, so that any form of Bittel can be Mekayim Tashbisu, even a Bittel midin afra da'ara. So in short, right, the fact that Rashi goes ahead and highlights that hashpasa d'leiv harei hashpasa, number one, it seems to be a positive form of Kumva Haseh formulation, and number two, it sounds like Rashi is going out of his way to explain to specifically come onto the approach of Bitul Midin Afra Da'ara to explain how Bitul Gvim Kaim Tashbisu, but if Tashbisu is simply an Isser Aseh, then even a Bitul Midin Hefker would suffice to for Bitul Gvim Kaim Tashbisu. So again, in short, and we'll take your question in a second, all four of these Rashis, if you put them all together, it seems pretty clear that Rashi holds that, right, in a Hanami, Tashbisu can be performed Lifnei Zman, no? We saw that from Rashi and Dalam Beis by Bitul, and by Yud Beis and Beis by Rabbi Huda's Shalom B'Shas B'Iro. It's clear that right from those two Rashis, Rashi holds that Tashbisu can perform Lifnei Zmano. But yet, there are a number of Rashis which also prove that Rashi holds that's Kumba Aseh. Number one, it's Hadi Hei Amad Aleph, which holds where Rashi formulates Tashbisu as Minatek the Lavin of Bayrabai Matzei. Number one, and Rashi and Dalam Beis by Abayi clearly holds that it's Kumba Aseh. And now we're seeing even the Lashon of Bittel, where he says, Vashbasa Delev, Havi Ashbasa, that too seems to be a Kumba Aseh formulation of Tashbisu. Yeah.
And the both of what on the last Rashi.
Yeah.
Why is this Mashba that's a Kumba Aseh?
I just thought the Lashon, the Chsiv Tashbisu Velo Kisiv Tivaru, I have a Hashbasa Delev, he Hashbasa. He seems to be saying the fact that the Torah uses the Lashon, right, when the Torah describes the Chiv to destroy. So Rashi is Havamina is basically saying, oh, maybe destruction means physical destruction, davka srefa, davka a physical destruction. Rashi says, no, by utilizing the lashon of hashpasa, not tivaru, tells you that the type of destruction isn't physical destruction, but rather psychological destruction. But that whole Havamina of a davka being srefa, and then saying, oh, but no, the positive kumva aseh destruction is not just physical destruction, but it's also psychological destruction. It sounds like we're all talking about a kumva aseh need to destroy. Right? We're talking about a requirement to destroy, and the only question is, what type of active destruction is required? Physical active destruction or psychological active destruction? But there's no implication here that it's just about being mushbas by a certain time period, that it's just an issur of having chametz in your rishos. But and even in the formulation of Ashpasa Delev Havi Ashpasa, sounds like the type of active destruction you need is a psychological active destruction. Like Hashpasa means destruction. I mean, he never right. It's in combination. It's the fact that the beginning he's saying Dechsiv right Tashbisu Lo Kisiv Sivaru, which at that point clearly is saying that the Havamina was that you need physical destruction, and then the only transition from there, he doesn't have like a 180 about face to say no, it's not about Kumba Aseh destruction, it's just about making sure that it's not in your Rishus. Right, the only transition is going from what type of active destruction is required, going from Tivaru, which is physical, to Ashpasa Belev, which is just psychological. That's why I'm reading it.
Who knew the hardest thing for Machas was just throw that in as another transition because of his opinion on the Hechra? No?
Yeah, but according to the Minchas Chinuch, this is so a little strange because Tashbisu for him is not really even describing Ashpasa Belev. If you're an Isra Aseh person, so how would you formulate Tashbisu? Tashbisu is Lo Yehi Chametz Bereshuscha. Right? You wouldn't formulate Tashbisu as Hashpasa Belev. Hashpasa Belev sounds like psychologically destroy it. That's not what the Ramban would tell you. That's not what the Ma'arik would tell you. They say Tashbisu equals Lo Yehi Chametz Bereshuscha. You hear what I'm saying? So it's both the Havmina and just the formulation of Hashpasa Belev. Sounds very much it's a destruction, but it's a psychological destruction, but it's a destruction nonetheless, which is very much a Kumba Aseh.
What was I saying about actually going out of his way? Why is it, are you taking it as just possibly he should have said after?
No, meaning like in other Rashis, when Rashi when Rashi holds that Tashbisu, that Bittel's Mekayim Tashbisu, here too. Meaning, the shita, the overall shita, again, it's not less of a diuk, more that what emerges from all the Rashi's, and we're doing the Bittul sugya, was that Rashi held that Bittul's clearly Mekayim Tashbisa, right? He says that a number of times. And the way Rashi seems to explain that, both here in Dalam and Beis, and Dalam and Aleph, is because of his shita of Bittul Midin Afridara. So one point, yeah, and especially here, Shpasatulev is reference to Bittul Midin Afridara. So all I'm saying is that if Rashi was simply trying to explain why Bittul is Mekayim Tashbisa, like he's trying to say here, in this Rashi, he's in essence trying to explain why Bittul is Mekayim Tashbisa. Right? That's the immediate goal of Rashi. Which, again, in the larger picture, which then explains the lack of Bayer Matzeh. The Rashi is here explaining, Rashi is trying to connect the dots. How do we know that Bittul, Midaraisa Bittul Baal Masagi, how do we know that Bittul obviates, circumvents Bayer Matzeh? Rashi says, oh, because it's Mekayim Tashbisa. That's the way he says it. And the way Rashi explains why Bittul's Mekayim Tashbisu is because of Hashpasa Delev. Because Bittul is Midin Afer Da'ara, which is Hashpasa Delev. All I'm saying is that if you simply thought that Tashbisu was an Isra Asay, right, and you were just explaining why Bittul is Mekayim Tashbisu of the Isra Asay variety, so then any type of Bittul would work. Right, even Bittul Midin Hefker would work.
He's explaining it to Shitas, so...
What? I'm saying, but
once,
what...
Once you accept that he understands... The very first deal is from the fact that he holds that it's Avodah.
Again, I guess the question is really, what's the chicken, what's the egg? You know what I mean? I think, again, it's like the preponderance of the evidence. I don't think you need... Again, maybe this is like, you know, going too far. But again... The implication I always got from Rashi is that the reason why he adopted the Afridara approach was in order to justify why Bittul's Mekayim Tashbisa. Raya, remember the way Tosos rejects Rashi? He rejects Rashi by saying that, right, he never undermines Bittul Midin Afridara. He just undermines Bittul Midin Mekayim Tashbisa. And Tosos feels that once I negate Bittul be Mekayim Tashbisu, so then there's no need to come on to Bittul Midin Afridara anymore. Remember that? So along those lines, that's what's in my head. So along those lines, it sounds like the chicken or the egg is that once Rashi thinks that Bittul's Mekayim Tashbisu, so then he comes on to Bittul Midin Afridara to justify it. But again, if you think that Tashbisu is simply Nisra Aseh, so then you don't need Bittul Midin Afridara to justify why Bittul's Mekayim Tashbisu. That a little clear? Okay, so Akan was explaining why Rashi, from all these different Rashis, it seems to emerge that even though Rashi holds that clearly Tashbisu can be performed with Nezmano, he still holds of Tashbisu being of the Kumva Ase variety. Okay, next Rishon seems to say this is the Rambam. Anyone have the Rambam? Okay, so the Rambam is going to be important. Two diukim here. First coming from Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph to Halacha Beis.
How do we know that he holds with Nezmano?
Who, Rava?
Yeah.
We're about to say it. Yeah, we have to prove two things, right? In order to put a Rishon on the following list, you have to prove that, number one, they hold the Kumba Asay, and they hold it's Lifnei Zman. Right? So we're going to see that the Rambam clearly holds it both. Clearly holds it, again, Bittul, sorry, that's what I gave away. That Tashbisu is Lifnei Zman, and he seems to formulate Tashbisu as a Kumba Asay. So go for, all right, Beis Aleph.
Oh,
so right there. Right. It's pretty clear, right? Mitzvah Saseh of the Torah. Number one, Lahashbis HaChametz Kodem Zman Isra Achilaso. So you have both right there. Number one, he tells you the Zman, that you do it Kodem. And Diuk number two is that he formulates Tashbisu as an active Lahashbis. Right, not lo ye chametz pershuso, but rather the mitzvah saseh min haTorah lahashpis, to actively destroy the chametz. When do you do that? Kodem. This is l'shitaso, because in halacha beis, how does he define what tashbisu is?
He כשיבאת לו חמץ בליבו, ויחשוב עושו כאפה, ויעשם בליבו שאין ברשותו חמץ כבר.
Right, so right, Rambam Lishitaso has to hold this lifnei zmano because he holds that what's mekayim tashbizu bittel, and bittel only applies lifnei zmano. So again, it's clear that Rambam, again, both from his lashon of kodem and from the fact that he goes on to say that it's bittel which only works kodem. So it's clear that Rambam thinks that you can perform the tashbizu kodem zmano, and the other diuk is that he formulates in right Beis Aleph, he formulates tashbizu in the active kumvase formulation of lahashpis. We could stop there, but there's another diuk. If you go back now to the beginning of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, to the Koteres. Again, I don't think we've like been medayek in a Koteres yet, but it's very important to know that the Rambam, before every set of halachos, basically in the Koteres, literally the heading, lists all the mitzvos in that particular set of halachos. And I know the Briskers, the Rav particularly, is very fond of being medayek from the Koteres, because the Rambam there, in essence, is formulating the nature of each mitzvah, right? And in the Koteres, the Rambam basically lists all the different mitzvahs which are going to be discussed in that set of halachos. And in a line or two, the Rambam, when he has to describe a mitzvah, obviously is going to formulate the mitzvah in a very, very meduyak fashion, and therefore it's always a good place, if you're trying to figure out what's the nature of a particular mitzvah according to the Rambam, a great place to always look is the Koteres. How does the Rambam, when he has that, you know, a couple words to describe the mitzvah, how does the Rambam choose to formulate a particular mitzvah? If you look to the Koteres of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, at mitzvah number 2 there, so it's V, how does he formulate Tashbisu? Right. So again, Lishitaso to his formulation in Beis Aleph, again formulates Tashbisu in a kumba asay manner of Lahashbis Seor Me'ar Ba'asar, which is an interesting formulation.
That means he owes Tashbisu as a whole Pesach. This is Me'ar Ba'asar. He started from Ba'asar, the next
one, but could be. Again, the Rambam doesn't hold it in a particular essay. But
or maybe he holds that it's like he's mangish that has to be from the day of Arba Asar, because that's the day after Shachar Chol Pesach and Asar Shachar Chol Chametz.
Maybe, could be. Remember, it's very important to know that this understanding of the Rambam, again, is against both the Minchas Chinuch, who understands that the Rambam, like Rashi, who holds, again, for the Minchas Chinuch, anyone holds a lifnei zmano for the Minchas Chinuch has to hold the Fisra Essay. So it's against the Minchas Chinuch, but it's also against the Reb Chaim. Right, because Reb Chaim, I'm just realizing right now, because Reb Chaim says, "Oh, the fact that the Rambam paskins hashpis also b'chol davar." Right, so for Reb Chaim, if you paskin hashpis also b'chol davar, that's the litmus test for Isser Aseh. So again, we're just pointing out that the Rambam in these formulations clearly seems to formulate Tashbisu not as an Isser Aseh like both Minchas Chinuch and Reb Chaim assume, but rather as a Kumvaseh, again, and we'll get back to later, how, if the Rambam is holding of Kumvaseh, how could that fit into his Pesach of Hashpasas B'chol Davar? Obviously, he's assuming that Hashpasas B'chol Davar isn't like necessarily just a totsah, make sure it's gone, but the Hashpasas B'chol Davar is a form of destruction. We'll get back to that next year. Fine. So the Minchas Chinuch actually quotes his Koteres. Again, just like he quotes that Rashi and Dalet on the base and tries to work around it, so too, after saying that the Rambam is in the Isra Aseh category, he says, "Oh, and if you're going to tell me that look at the Koteres sounds like Lahashpis is a Kumba Aseh," he says, "No, Lav Dafka. Just because the Rambam says Lahashpis, that doesn't mean that it's Kumba Aseh." Minchas Chinuch says, and I'll give you another example where the Rambam seems to formulate an Aseh as a Kumba Aseh in the Koteres, but really it's an Isra Aseh. He says, anyone remember the example? It says, the Aseh of Shabbason on Shabbos. Says the Minchas Chinuch, at the beginning, in the Koteres to Hilchos Shabbos, the first mitzvah there. There you have it.
Lishbos
B'Shvi. Oh. He says, Lishbos B'Shvi. Sounds like there's a Kumba Aseh mitzvah, specifically to rest on the seventh day on Shabbos. So Minchas Chinuch says, okay, there too the Rambam, because you see the Rambam is basically, you know, the Briskers would shake at this. You see in the Koteres, he's lapped off, just because he formulates something in the positive Kumva Aseh, it doesn't mean that that's what it means, because he says, clearly, the Aseh of Shabbason, says Minchas Chinuch, is clearly just an Isra Aseh against doing Malacha. That's Minchas Chinuch assumes. It says clearly, Minchas Chinuch, right? Minchas Chinuch says clearly, just like there's is a law against doing malach on Shabbos, so too is an Isser essay of Shabbason against doing malachos on Shabbos. So even though it says Minchas Chinuch, even though the Rambam formulates that essay in the Kumva essay of Lishbos Bishvi, it simply is an Isser essay. It says if the Rambam does it there, so too here, when the Rambam says Lahashpis a Chametz, all it means is really the Isser essay of not having Chametz in your rishus. But a pushback, I think I'll take your point, against this Minchas Chinuch, is that, number one, it's hard to love Davka Rishon anywhere. But specifically the Koteres, right? The Koteres is Rambam's opportunity to, in a very concise, pithy manner, formulate the nature of a mitzvah. It's like, why would the Rambam do it in a Lav Davka fashion? That's number one. Number two, you can neutralize the Minchas Chinuch's raya from Shabbason, and say just like the Minchas Chinuch, I don't mean this in an irreverent way, but just like the Minchas Chinuch is perhaps wrong about the Rambam's conception of Tashbisu, perhaps he's also wrong about the Rambam's conception of Shabbason, because we'll show right now that there are others such as the Ramban al Torah who understand that Shabbason on Shabbos is also the Kumva Asay variety. I'll give you the Mar Malkum, I don't have you see it because it's a little agav, but the Ramban al Torah in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet, so that's the Ramban al Torah, Vayikra Chav Gimel Chav Dalet, Dibra Maschel of a low nisparer. You got that? Chav Gimel Chav Dalet of a low nisparer. So there the Ramban famously develops this very beautiful idea that there's a specifically, right, in addition to the los, to the lav of Isra Malacha, there's a positive mitzvah saseh of Shabbason to basically act on, basically, sorry, positive chiyuv to create an environment of menucha on Shabbos. So again, therefore, the Torah, says Ramban, tells you Shabbason, rest, incumbent upon a person to create a menucha type environment on Shabbos. The Ramban says nafkamina is that a person, right, has to therefore refrain because of this, you know, kiyum of Shabbos and of having menucha. A person therefore has to refrain from certain actions which are not technical malachos, but if a particular activity would, you know, be mevatel as menucha, would, you know, keep away from his menucha, and that would keep away from his kiyum of Shabbason, so then he can't do that. So in essence, the Ramban al Torah, you know, assumes that Shabbason, right, just like the lashon of the Ramban, is shenitztaveinu min haTorah, lios lanu menucha, I think biyantif is the specific context, afilu midvarim she'ina malacha. Right, you have to have menucha on yantif, afilu mitzvaram she'ena malach. And I think from the lashon of Shabbason, he's saying, yeah, you have a chiyav kumva asay to create, to be in a state of Shabbason, in a state of menucha. Yes, that might entail not doing certain things, but the nature of the asay is a kumva asay. So therefore, along those lines, it could be that the Rambam also holds like that. The Rambam also holds, yeah, when he says lahashbiz, sorry, lishbos bishvi, it's also meduyuk, it's a kumva asay. And perhaps in both cases, both by Tashbisu and by Shabbason on Shabbos, they're both kumvases, and that's why in both cases the Rambam formulates them in positive ways. Sorry, you were about to raise your...
Yeah. Are you saying that Rambam shouldn't change from the Lashon of the Pasuk?
What?
Like the problem that he's stuck with
the
Lashon of the Pasuk?
No, I'm not saying any problem. I'm just saying that the Minchas Chinuch's Raya from Shabbason, that the Rambam could be Lavdavka.
I'm still by the example, just when Imchon Zamatzer says that it's gonna say. We're just saying that he says he uses Lashon Tashbisa. Yeah.
He says Lahashbis Achametz.
They're just using Lashon Tashbisa, no?
Yeah, but again, the Koteres, he's not quoting Pesukim. In the Koteres, he's always formulating the mitzvah. So again, if he says lahashpis achametz, again, if when the Rambam understands an asay as an isra asay, so he formulates it as an isra asay. If the Rambam keeps to the pasuk, maybe because he thinks the pasuk meaning the lashon of the pasuk is a raya that's kumba say. Right? If he keeps to the pasuk and formulates it in a similar fashion for hashpis achametz, that's telling you that because the nature is lahashpis achametz to actively destroy it. Yeah. So I mean, So for sure, Rambam all the time changes Keteres. He's not just paraphrasing Pesukim. He's formulating halachos. And like, look at the halachos Tshuva. It's all over the place. The Keteres is, again, here happens to be similar language just because that's what it is. I mean, the Torah uses a lashon. But yeah. So it's like, yeah. You were specifically looking for a lashon of an asay, which the Rambam formulates as an isra asay. Is that what you're asking? But we can look through it together. I'm sure we'll find.
What does the Rambam write in Sefer Mitzvos
about Tashbizu?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I don't remember offhand. Which mitzvah would it be? Did they say in the side? Normally they say in the side there. Yeah. Let's look that up.
Sefer
Mem. Mem? Okay.
Asana and Tas.
What?
That's Mem.
Ase Mem?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which one? Kuftan Vav?
Yeah, the Ram Sima Mitzvah is Kuftan
Vav. Okay. Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please. Vamitzvah Kuftan Vav, he should sivanu leva'er chametz mi batenu. Biyomar Varasar. Vizuhi mitzvah sashpasas or. Yeah, right? Levayr, put that on the list. Levayr chametz mibatenu. It's, again, sounds l'shitaso, that it's an act of destruction. Here? Okay, put that on the list. So mitzvah sase kufnun vav, Rambam again, l'shitaso, formulates it in the positive. Oh. The last question we have here is that you remember, one of the rayos that, this is both against the Minchas Chinuch's interpretation of the Rambam and Reb Chaim. What was one of Reb Chaim's rayos that the Rambam held that was an Isra Aseh? What was the nafkamina that he was trying to? What was the sheet of the Rambam? What? Exactly, being Chayiv Malkus, right? What's the kasha? The kasha was, what do you mean? Why isn't there a patur of Nitikla Aseh? So, you know, the Reb Chaim and Minchas Chinuch, for that matter, say, oh, the reason why there's no Tur Nitikla essay for the Rambam is because the Rambam holds a Visser essay. That's why. But according to our Mahalich, that the Rambam really holds a Kumba essay, so then why isn't it Nitikla essay? So, this is where I had you see the Shagas Aryeh, who basically points out there are alternative explanations for why the Ptura of Nitikla essay wouldn't be applicable in the context of Bar Ben Mitzvah. So, what's the answer given by the Shagas Aryeh in Shaila, in Shut, you know, Simon Pei Beis? And remember what the Shagas Aryeh says? He quotes another exception to the Ptur Malkus of Nitzik L'Essay, which applies here. And remember, anyone see it? So Shagas Aryeh says that the Ptur of Nitzik L'Essay does not apply when there are two Lavin. Basically, it's a klal that one Assay cannot be Menatek two Lavin. So Shagas Aryeh says, an alternative in the Rambam, that the reason why the Rambam doesn't think that Tashbisu can be menatek the lavin and bar by matze to generate a Ptur Malkus for bar by matze is because there are two lavin. The two lavin and bar by matze are not subject to the Ptur of Nitik L'Essay. And a parallel for where the Rambam holds this is in Hilchos Temura Aleph Aleph. There are two. The Rambam holds that the reason why you get Malkus for a Temura, despite the fact that Temura seems to be Nitik L'Essay, again, not getting into the details, but just the background for Temura is, right, you have two animals here, right? This is my carbon, right, carbon A, and I want to transfer the Kedusha to animal B. So that's the Isra of Temura, is the attempt to transfer Kedusha from the carbon to another animal. The Torah says not only is it usher to do that, but if you try to do that, the Torah says, Hu utemuraso ye kodesh. The result of your action is that both of them end up being kadosh. So big, interesting lamdas. The Gemara refers to that as a nitiklas, eh? Again, you attempted to do something, and the Torah, in a way, is mitaking your attempt by ensuring that both animals ends up being kadosh. Either way, not getting into the details, it's a very interesting for nitikla essay, why that's considered a nitikla essay, but either way, it's considered a nitikla essay, so the lav tamura seems to be a nitikla essay. But yet, the Rambam paskins that there's malchus for tamura, and it gives two explanations, and one of them is exactly the same idea, because there are two lavin, there's lo yamir, and lo yachlifenu. So the Rambam in Hilchos tamura aleph, raises the question. He says, "V'lama lokin ala tzmura var lav shaba nitaklase." Why is there malchus for tzmura? It seems to be nitaklase. Answer is, "Mipnei sheyishba ase b'shnei lavin," because the ase is working against two lavin, and one ase cannot be menatek two lavin. So therefore, so to here, you can explain even if the Rambam, according to his Mahalach, holds that tashbisu is kumvase, and therefore the question is, so why is it menatek lase? You can simply say the Rambam holds. There's no Patur or Malchus because there are two Lavin. Yeah?
Would it be a question why he explains that there and not here?
Interesting. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Yeah. You can answer, no matter what shot you give, you can always say, I mean, no matter what you say, the Rambam never explains why it's not Nitzak Lase here.
And then, but if this is something that he wants to explain with Hiddush.
But it's more of a basic question. I think the question is a good question. Why is the Rambam only asked that question there and not here? But I don't think it's necessarily a raya against this Hesber. Because again, he gives two explanations there. It's not dafka. Like, it's not like the Rambam. You're basically, the assumption of your question, which is a good one, is like, oh, maybe you see from there, whenever he wants to give this exception, he explains it. So you're saying maybe the fact he doesn't give this, maybe he doesn't explain it, shows that that's not the explanation here. That's what you're saying.
Certain on why, but
yeah. But I'm saying the Rambam also gives another explanation. He gives two explanations for why it's not nitik lase there. So it's not a lot, it's not a din dafka in this two versus one idea. Either way, it's a valid question in terms of why the Rambam doesn't explain why it's not nitik lase here, but again, I don't think that's a raya against any particular explanation, because either way, he doesn't explain why. He just says Yechayv Malchus.
There's nothing really to suggest the value of Rabbi Yonatan being Nitik Lase. If the Rambam doesn't have a year of the Gemara or something, so then the Pasuk by Timur says, you're actually a friend of Rabbi Yonatan, and if you do it by Rabbi Yonatan, so it makes sense the Rambam would, because the Rambam assumes, like, the Rambam would point out in the Hakdama that you learned Tanakh. So therefore, you know that you might think that Nitik Lase, Kashmir is not Nitik Lase.
You think Dafka because they're next to each other there?
It sounds like Nitik Lase. If the Gemara didn't put the speech by Rabbi Yonatan together, I would not have necessarily said that.
Okay. Could be. Okay. Could be. You're just saying it's more obvious there. Okay. Could very well be. Okay. And just the last ta'ara is that, so again, in terms of the within the kumvase approach to say that it can be done lifnei zmanos, so far we had a bunch of rashis and we just put together a bunch of ramams. And just the third mefarish on this possibly on this list is Reb Chaim, in the sense that in stark contrast to the Minchas Chinuch, who says, who basically looks at Lifnei Zmano as a simon for Isser Aseh, right? He sees Lifnei Zmano versus La'achar Zmano as a nafkamina between Isser Aseh and Kumva Aseh, Reb Chaim never brings it as a raya. Right, the Rambam never says, right, even though Reb Chaim thinks that the Rambam holds of Sheval Taisa, his raya to that is only from the Rambam's psak of Hash Pesas Mechol Davar. He never brings a raya from the fact that the Rambam holds Tashbisu Lifnei Zmano, and it could be because the Reb Chaim agrees to this analysis that, yeah, I mean, just the fact that the Rambam holds that the Tashbisu can be performed Lifnei Zmano, that alone doesn't prove Isra Aseh, because that Lifnei Zmano could also align with the Kumvase approach, like we're saying, because the Kumvase is preparatory in nature, and therefore it can be done Lifnei Zmano. Fine. Now moving on to the third issue. Again, so far we've had, within the Kumvase approach, we discussed two different issues. First issue is what is the subject of the Chiyuv, Gavra versus Chepsa. Then we had the second issue about the timing, whether the timing of Tashbisu is La'achar Zmano or Lifnei Zmano. So now, the third issue is what exactly is the impact of Tashbis. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. So we're going to see two different options here. What exactly is the impact of Tashbis? So the simple approach is that the impact of the act of Tashbisu is the totsa'a of the act of Tashbisu destroying the Chametz. Namely, right, the simple understanding is that when does the act of Tashbisu have an impact? When it brings about the totsa'a of the Chametz at hand being destroyed. And according to this first version, right, there's no impact of the process of performing Tashbisu. Right, it's all a hechsher, right? It's a ma'isa mitzvah, but the ma'isa mitzvah only has an effect when it brings about the totsah of the chametz being destroyed. So, in short, the first option in terms of the impact of tashbisu is the totsah of when the chametz is destroyed. The second option, we're gonna, you know, there's a lot of evidence to this. We already saw this, you know, certain context, which says that not only does Tashbisu have an impact in terms of the totsa of destroying the Chametz, but the process of being involved in the destruction of Chametz itself has nafkamina. Right? One example of this is Tosas Chavtes and Beis, Abasha Chametz, Amanas Levayer, the concept that as long as you're involved in the process of Tashbisu, or at least you perhaps even intend to perform the process of Tashbisu, that in itself triggers certain nafkamina. And again, there are other makoros to this idea as well. So again, second version is that not only is the impact of Tashbisu in terms of the totsah of destroying the chametz, but even the maisa, even the process of going about destroying it, also has an effect on various dinim. So again, there are the number of makoros even above, even in addition to that Tosas on Chavtes and Beis, which highlight this idea that there's a chalos, that there's an impact to even the Maisa of Tashbisu, even before the Chametz is actually destroyed. Okay. So Akan was our discussion. Again, approach number one was the Sheval Taisa approach. Approach number two is the Kumvase approach. We discussed nuances within that. And like, now, it seems to be a common theme of the last, you know, couple of sugyas we've done, is the third approach, which says two dinim. Just happened to work out that Haseva, right, Haseva Delikosos and Tashbisu all have this same type of construct. You have like one group, one approach that says one din, second approach says it's a different din, and the third approach says it's both dinim. So where do I get this idea within Tashbisu that there's a particular Mefarish who holds of two dinim? This is why I asked you to bring Reb Chaim. I never noticed this diuk in Reb Chaim, but if you pay careful attention to the way Reb Chaim presents Reb Yehuda, like the Kumvase approach, he seems open to the possibility that Reb Yehuda holds that not only is there a Kumvase aspect to Tashbisu, but there's also an Isra'ase component to Tashbisu. So again, Ephraim, can you open up Reb Chaim?
Yeah.
So you open Reb Chaim, again, I've never noticed before. I got very excited about this. I asked my father-in-law, of course he had noticed it before. But he's like, yeah, of course, yeah. I'm like, okay. I thought I discovered, you know, Jupiter here. I've never heard anybody talk about it, so I was very excited when I saw it. So if you open up Reb Chaim, you see, like, the last paragraph when he's talking about, when he's presenting Rabbi Yehuda, you see, like, when he says, Masha Enkein im Nema.
Yeah,
so read it slow and you'll see. I was kicking myself. I don't know why I never caught this before. But if you, again, I remember, Reb Chaim is known to have, like, spent a lot of time on his pieces in terms of, like, formulating with much precision. So, again, at one point in the summer, someone said, "Oh, I can be medayik in an achron." Again, I think you can, but of all achronim, you can for sure be medayik in Reb Chaim. He's known to have spent a lot of time on, you know, perfecting his formulations. So, with that introduction, Smasha Inkein.
Smasha Inkein in mitzvahs with straight. It's not true if we said mitzvah straight, but Inkein when mitzvah nasa with gof, then the mitzvah is done with the object. was cheated, I mean, take a say from Shreifas Nosa, then obviously it would be
So basically, he's just very, so far he just said, this is the classic, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds it Sreifa, so then it's a kumva asay, right, mitzad the chavtza, and once it's a kumva asay, so then the patura of nitik la'asay would apply. Fine. But now he has an added line.
So, about the gamda di day, nitla b'hachlash bisu, yisrishal yehila, even if we say that, even
according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, even though that shita, the including Tashbisu is the Isra by
Or an Isra say, we'll call it. Yeah, exactly. An Isra say shlo yehila chametz. They say, and even if you say that Rabbi Yehuda holds not only of the kumva asay, but also is an Isra asay, and maybe you'd have a having that would have an impact on nitzak asay. He says no, still. He's saying, but as long as you still have the component of kumvase, so then that's going to trigger a nitzakla assay. The kevan.
Since this is also included in the Krah, in the Lashon of
Tashbisu. Yeah, and since the component of kumvase is also there, right, in addition to the Isra assay, so therefore imkain. Fine. Right, so the main thrust of the piece is trying to justify nitzik l'asay, but again, that key line there when he says, feel again, he's not certain about it, but he opens up the possibility, I would say like it's like a dea within, like it's a possibility that Reb Chaim raises, that again, va'afilu imneima, de gam lididei nichlal b'hach de tashbisu isura shelo yehe lahem chametz. Where he's basically saying that even Rabbi Yehuda, even the kumva asay of Rabbi Yehuda, thinks that there's an additional din of Isra asay. Which is like a fascinating concept, because as we've said earlier in discussing Tashbisu, so again, number one, it seems to be Reb Chaim at least considers the possibility that there are two dinim of Tashbisu. There's an Isra asay component and a kumva asay component. The strange part is that, like, where's Reb Chaim coming from? Like, there's nothing in his piece. There's no raya to this. He's not answering any questions with this. He just sort of like says like, and this shouldn't cause any problems because don't worry, my yisod still holds true. So the question is like, where is Reb Chaim coming? Like, what's his makor for this? Right, especially as we said before, when there's one pasuk, the pasuk's one pasuk means one din, and yet Reb Chaim sees somewhere. Right, that there is two dinim coming out of the one pasuk of Tashbisu. And the question would be, like, what's Reb Chaim's makor for this? What's Reb Chaim's makor for this idea that there are two dinim? So again, I'd originally hold this off for later in the sugya, but I'm not sure we're going to get to this. So I'd just offer a possibility for what, you know, this will conclude, what Reb Chaim's makor for this is. I'd like to suggest maybe it's a Rashi that we just read tonight in Yud Beis Nun Beis. If you go back to Rashi, Yud Beis Nun Beis, Shelo B'Shas B'Uro, right? If you recall, Rashi says what? Rashi says that Shelo B'Shas B'Uro, right, that when the Rabbi Yehuda holds that Sreifa is limited to Shelo B'Shas B'Uro, what's Shelo B'Shas B'Uro? What Zman is it? Yeah, Rashi. Kodem Shish. What's La'acher Chatzos? What's the Psak? So one question could be raised on Rashi, which is, where does this Hashbisasa B'chol... Sorry, it's like this. Different ways of formulate this. For Rashi, right, if the Shelo B'Shas B'Uro is Kodem Zmano, so then why wouldn't Sreifa also apply la'achar zmano? Meaning, if Sreifa, as we're saying for Rashi, the kumvasei tashbisu even applies lifnei zmano, so it should certainly also apply betoch zmano. Right, the chiddush of lifnei zmano is that you can also perform tashbisu earlier than the zman. Right? So Rashi, Lishita also says, yes, Sreifa can be performed lifnei zmano. But after Zmano, it's Davka Hashbisas B'chol Davar. The question is, Where did Hashbasasa b'chol davar come from? Right? Why wouldn't you be able to perform Sreifa then? Right? Where did Hashbasasa b'chol davar come from? So, again, there are different ways to read this Rashi, but I think one way to read this Rashi is that this is that Rashi is also holding of two dinam. And the Sreifa called him Zmano, that's the Kumba Asay. But the Hashbasasa b'chol davar la'achr Zmano, that's the Isra Asay. And perhaps, maybe one makor for Reb Chaim is this Rashi. That's speculation. He never quotes this Rashi. But again, because one way to explain this Rashi, because the question is, where did Hashbasasa b'chol davar come from? Is that, and again, it sounds like that's a a form of Tashbisu. Again, it says Hashbasasa b'chol davar. The lashon is this is also a form of Tashbisu. The question is, if your Sreifa is before Zmano, so then where does Hashbasasa b'chol davar come from? Perhaps it's the Tudinim. The Kumva Asay, which is Davka Bistrefa, that's called the Mizmano, Rashi Lashitaso. But Rashi also holds that there's an additional din of Isra Asay, and the Isra Asay, which applies La'achar Zmano. And therefore, at that point, Hashbasas B'chol Davar, do whatever you can to make sure that you don't violate that Isra. So again, one suggestion is that, again, we point out Reb Chaim, he just has a throwaway line that maybe there are two dinim. Where is a possible makor for this? Again, without going into too much detail, it could be that maybe this Rashi, Yud Beis Mem Beis, is a makor, because Rashi seems to have two types of Tashbisu. Again, there's a Tashbisu of Sreifa, Kolden Zmano, and then a Tashbisu of Hashbasas B'chol Davar, La'achar Zmano. Perhaps those are two dinim of Tashbisu.
How are there two dinim in one pasuk?
Yeah, so that I don't have an answer to. I don't know. Reb Chaim, he says they're both nichlal in the pasuk Tashbisu. I don't know. It's strange. Yeah.
Well, the pasuk says Shlosim is only matzah of a dinim, and that's not the pasuk about Rabbi Matzah, because there's a
type of pasuk about. I think there's a couple of pasuk about Rabbi Matzah.
Right. So maybe.
I think there are two. Meaning that there are, as the Gemara. Hey, there are a couple of lachas. I think that is one of the psukim.
The Tosfos learned up as the Gemara is actually hanging out, right? So what's the heck? What's the pasuk of Hashbasa Sarah Lechilas Chametz? So Shlosh Yom Shalim Matzah Beretz.
Well,
that's the Hashbasa of the Otar
Mitz. Yeah.
What's the Hashbasa?
Yeah, it's a good art. Actually, Yehuda Dov was very into this line of the Gemara, in terms of the relationship between Tashbisu and Rabbi Matzah, which is a good aura, because it seems it's important to note, right? When the Gemara is bringing a pasuk for Tashbisu, it seemingly brings the pasuk of Rabbi Matzah. So again, if you hold it that they're related, this could be another good rhyme for that. So you're trying to say something else. You're trying to say that, no, really the Gemara sees Shivas Yom Sur Lo Yimotzei Bibatechem. Oh, you're saying maybe that's the Isra Asay version of...
Why
is
this Lo Yimotzei?
No, it's Shivas Yamim. That's not the Zman of. That seems to be Lo Yimotzei. I think that's one of the two psukim of Yimotzei. Okay, it's hard to say. You're saying that's the Isra Asay, component or aspect of Tashbisu, but the Zman's off. You know what I'm saying? The Zman of Tashbisu is Yom Rishon. This is Shivas Yamim, so it's hard to. Okay, we'll stop here.
So all the times Rashi said, "Kodem Zman."